pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She is the personification of pure love for Krishna. So sometimes Krishna would wonder, well, what is it like to be the lover of Krishna and not being on the receiving end? So in order to experience that, he took on the role of being a lover of Krishna, a devotee of Krishna. He took on the golden complexion of Radharani. Krishna, usually, has this bluish color, and Radharani has a golden color. So to experience what it was like to be a devotee of Krishna in the mood of Radharani, Krishna took on, you know, the golden complexion of Radharani and also her mood of pure love for Krishna. And that is why Lord Chaitanya is called the golden avatar, because he has the golden complexion of Radharani. Of course, this is very esoteric knowledge. Just recently throughout the world, you know, through, you know, different films and books like The Da Vinci Code, you know, people have become a little bit interested. Does God perhaps have also, in addition to a male nature, also a female nature? Well, this is very new for people in the Western world. In India, the Vaishnavas, especially the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, have known about this for a long, long time. Of course, here in our temples, you know, we have the form, Radha and Krishna, the male and female aspects of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord Chaitanya, this very special form of Krishna, came to this world for a very special set of purposes. He came for two purposes. His external purpose was to introduce the special form of Dharma or religion for this age or yuga. Yada yada dharma sya, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Glanar bhavati bharata abhyutanam yadharma sya tadatmanam srijamyaham. In each age, Krishna comes to establish the principles of religion in a particular form. So in this particular age that we live in now, the Kali Yuga, the Dharma is Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy names of God. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here we see Lord Chaitanya with his principal followers chanting, you know, the Hare Krishna mantra. So that was his external purpose. But he also had a more confidential internal purpose for coming to this world. And that was to experience and teach love for Krishna in the mood of Radharani. Radharani is Krishna's pleasure potency, Sladini Shakti. And she expressed the purest kind of love for Krishna, ultimate self-sacrifice for the pleasure of Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya came to teach that, to demonstrate it personally and to teach it to those who are qualified to learn about it. So how do you become qualified to learn about it? By engaging in the external activities that Lord Chaitanya promoted, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, as we've been doing all day today. That is what will give us our qualification to enter into these deeper understandings of Lord Chaitanya's purpose for coming to this world. So Lord Chaitanya, he appeared 521 years ago at Mayapur in West Bengal, which is here on the Ganges River near the town of Navadvip. And the place where he appeared originally 521 years ago was lost for several centuries. But the great Gaudiya Vaishnava, spiritual master, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, went to Mayapur specifically to relocate the place where Lord Chaitanya appeared on this day 521 years ago. And he was successful in doing that by what I call transcendental archaeology. You know, he relocated the place of Lord Chaitanya's appearance, even though it had been lost for centuries. And then his son, another great Vaishnava Acharya, spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, built a temple there, the one that's there today. And of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he was the spiritual master of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So this is the temple that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur constructed at the appearance place of Lord Chaitanya. It's called the Yoga Peet. And there you can find a replica of the house of Lord Chaitanya's parents. And there's a tree, a neem tree, because we learned that this particular type of tree was there at the place of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. And in the temple there, you can see, you know, in the replica house, deities of Lord Chaitanya's father, Jagannath Mishra, who was a very pure Brahmana, pundit, saintly person, and Sachi Devi, Lord Chaitanya's mother. Of course, they were incarnations of Krishna's mother and father. And then there's also, you see, the deity of small infant, Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So Srila Prabhupada very much wanted to have a place where his disciples from all over the world could come to Mayapur, which is the place where Lord Chaitanya appeared. So he constructed this beautiful center, which he called the World Headquarters of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness at Mayapur. Here you can see the Ganges, and the appearance place of Lord Chaitanya is back in this direction. So his followers from all over the world come to stay at the center he built and also to visit the appearance place of Lord Chaitanya. And it's very auspicious to do that on the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya himself. Now, this was predicted a long time ago by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the 19th century. Long time ago, he predicted in some of his writings. Yeah, he wondered, oh, for that day when the fortunate English, French, Russian, German, and American people will take up banners, mridangas, drums, kartals, you know, hand cymbals, and raise kirtan, chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, through their streets and towns. When will that day come? Oh, for the day when the fair-skinned men from their side will raise up chanting of Jai Satchinandana, Jai Satchinandana ki jai. All glories to Lord Chaitanya, all glories to Lord Chaitanya, and join with the Bengali devotees. So you can see there are two predictions. One is that the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, Lord Chaitanya's movement, would spread all over the world. And also, the second part of the prediction is that those people from all over the world would come to Mayapur and join with their Bengali brothers, chanting the glories of Lord Chaitanya. So at the time he made these two predictions in 1885, who could even think, who could even imagine such a thing would be possible? But now, over 100 years later, we see it's happened. And how did it happen? It's because one very sincere devotee of Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada, took up his mission, because Lord Chaitanya himself said he wanted his teachings to be spread to every town and village in the world. And for hundreds of years, people wondered, how would it ever happen? How could it possibly happen? But because of the pure devotion of Srila Prabhupada to his spiritual master and to Lord Chaitanya, it did happen. He went first to America, then all over the world. And within the course of just a few short years, all over the world, the French people, the American people, all the people, the Germans, the Russians, all the ones that Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioned, they were chanting Hare Krishna. And not only that, they started coming from all over the world to join their Bengali brothers in Mayapur, chanting, brothers and sisters, excuse me, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. It is so amazing. It is absolutely an amazing prediction. And it is even more amazing to be part of that prediction. So when Lord Chaitanya was born, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, his mother, Sachi Devi, was visited, as was the custom, by the neighborhood women, especially the women from the Brahminical families. But not only that, we also learned that the wives of great demigods from the heavenly planets came down to this world and took on the disguise of being village Brahmin women to come to visit Lord Chaitanya, to pay homage to this very special appearance of Lord Krishna in this world. It's a very amazing event. So Lord Chaitanya, he spent the first 24 years of his life in Mayapur, in West Bengal. Yeah, he grew to be a beautiful young man, very powerful teacher, very respected in his community, chanting, mostly privately at that time, not being so open about it. But he took initiation from his spiritual master, Ishvara Puri, as is the custom. Of course, he's the personality of Godhead. He doesn't need to take initiation from anybody. He doesn't need any guru, because he's the supreme guru of all gurus. But just to show, the example to the common people of this world, he took initiation. And then, he began to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, because that was the principal instruction that he got from his spiritual master. Chant the Hare Krishna mantra everywhere. So he and his followers began doing that. Before that, they were doing it privately in their homes. But then they began going out into the streets, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And that upset many people. It upset what is called the caste brahmanas in the village, because they had a monopoly on the spiritual life of the people. And this was very revolutionary for Lord Chaitanya to be going out chanting the Hare Krishna mantra everywhere, bringing in all kinds of people, what is called the caste brahmanas in the village. Because they had a monopoly on the spiritual life of the people. And this was very revolutionary for Lord Chaitanya to be going out chanting the Hare Krishna mantra everywhere, bringing in all kinds of people, high caste, low caste, everyone. It was very revolutionary. So some of them who opposed this spiritual revolution that had been started by Lord Chaitanya, they went to the Muslim ruler, the Qazi, because at that time that part of India was under the control of the Muslims. They complained. Yes, he's violating all the principles of the Hindu religion by giving this mantra to everyone, regardless of their qualification. And so, the Qazi, the ruler, the Muslim ruler, he began to suppress Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. And sometimes he and his police representatives would even go and they'd break the mridangas. Of course, this is still happening today in some parts of the world. We see that sometimes the governments, they like most recently in Kazakhstan, they try to stop the spread of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. So that also happened 500 years ago. So how did Lord Chaitanya reply? Well, he organized a massive civil disobedience movement. He called upon all of his followers to assemble one night and assemble in huge chanting parties to disobey this restriction that had been placed on them. So you could say he was the original promoter of the nonviolent civil disobedience in India centuries before Gandhi. And it was successful. He actually, the Qazi invited him into his palace and had conversations with him, and at the end he became a supporter of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement and a devotee himself. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had an older brother named Vishwarupa. And when he reached a certain age, his mother and father, Sachimanta and Jagannath Mishra, began to make arrangements for him to become married. And he didn't want to become married, so he left and became a sannyasi, a member of the renounced order of life. So he left home and began to travel all over India as a sannyasi. But once, Lord Chaitanya, he had a dream in which his brother appeared to him and said, "I want you to come also with me. I want you to also become a sannyasi, a member of the renounced order of life." But Lord Chaitanya told his brother, "No, I can't go with you. I am the only child left of my father and mother, and I must take care of them. Who will watch out for them if not for me?" So in this way, he displayed his love for his father and mother. And he remained with them obediently, as their child. And they arranged a marriage for him with a very saintly girl named Lakshmi Priya. Of course, she was an incarnation of the goddess of fortune, not an ordinary woman, just as Lord Chaitanya was not an ordinary man. He was the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. But God is a person. Actually, all our activities in this world are reflections of personal activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that go on the spiritual level. Of course, our activities are sometimes perverted reflections of these activities, but God is a person, ultimately. And so, after his marriage, of course, he had to earn some wealth to support a wife and a household. So the way that a Brahmin would earn wealth in those days would be to travel and speak, demonstrate his learning, and then people would give contributions. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to East Bengal to do that. But during his absence, his wife felt so much separation from him that it was as if, you know, like a poison snake had bitten her. And actually, on a certain level, that's what did happen. So she left this world out of her immense feelings of grief and separation, you know, from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then a second marriage was arranged with Vishnupriya. So at the Yogapeet in Mayapur, at that temple that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur built, if you go there, you'll see, you know, deity of Lord Chaitanya with Lakshmi Priya and Vishnu Priya. But then at a certain point, Lord Chaitanya himself took sannyas in his 24th year. And before, he had that beautiful long hair, but now you can see his head is shaved. And he took the renounced order of life because he understood that it was time for him to start his mission of spreading this Sankirtan movement all over India. And he understood that at that time, because the order of sannyas was so respected, that people would give him more respect at that time. So therefore, he did that. And his mother, of course, was grief-stricken. So his father had already left by this time, but his mother, yes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Haribo. Yes. Okay. Yes. Great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. So the mother was grief-stricken, because that meant, you know, the sannyasi does not live at home with wife and children or mother and father. Sannyasi is dead to the world in some sense. Just goes everywhere by himself. But to satisfy her, he agreed that he would make his headquarters not far away from Mayapur, but in Puri, here. So Lord Chaitanya went from Mayapur to Jagannath Puri, which is a very famous city on the Gulf of Bengal. It's the site of a very famous temple of Krishna called the Temple of Jagannath. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to the Temple of Jagannath. And he went into total ecstasy there, seeing that deity of Krishna. And he remained there for a long time. He would participate in the annual Ratha Yatra festival, just like we have that festival here in Los Angeles every summer. But the original festival of the chariots was held in Jagannath Puri, and you can see here it's a huge festival. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers would yearly participate in that festival, holding, making huge Sankirtan parties for chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And also, in addition to this mass chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, he would also speak individually with philosophers. For example, there was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was the head of the impersonalist philosophers in Jagannath Puri. Of course, there are two schools of thought about the nature of the Supreme Lord in India. One is that ultimately there is no personality. Personality is just an illusion. Everything is one, Brahman. But Lord Chaitanya represented the other school. The Godhead is personal. And the individual souls, they are eternal servants of God. Whereas according to the other view, everything is one. Personality is an illusion. There is no God. There is no individual self. In one sense, they say everything is God, but God's not a person. So Lord Chaitanya represented the other school. God is eternally a person. The individual souls, they are eternally persons. And they're eternally related to God as his loving servants. So in his discussions with these philosophers, Lord Chaitanya established this philosophy and he converted them. He converted the leader of these impersonalist philosophies to his point of view. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he became a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. After spending some time in Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya then went on a tour of all of South India. He went everywhere chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and he performed many miracles. You know, for example, he delivered the leper Vasudev. You know, just by touching him, you know, he cured his disease completely. And he continued his process of not only chanting the Hare Krishna mantra very widely, but converting many philosophers of different schools, including some Buddhist philosophers that he met there. And at a spot on the Godavari River, he delivered very confidential teachings to a devotee named Ramananda Roy. Now, Lord Chaitanya was born a Brahmin, the highest caste. He was a sannyasi, a member of the highest Vedic social order. But this Ramananda Roy, he was born in the low class. And he was not a sannyasi. But it's very amazing what happened. Despite his low social position, this Ramananda Roy was actually a very advanced devotee of Krishna. Kiba Vripra Kiba Nasi Sudra Kenanai Ye Krishna Tattva Veta Se Guru Hai. It's one of the foundational teachings of Lord Chaitanya's revolutionary spiritual movement in India. That it didn't matter what your caste was, whether you were high caste or low caste. These things are all external, Lord Chaitanya said. The real thing is, what do you know about Krishna? So to personally demonstrate this, there was a very interesting arrangement by which Lord Chaitanya took the position of being the student, asking the questions, and allowing Ramananda Roy to give the answers. And then in the end, Lord Chaitanya did something very amazing. He displayed to Ramananda Roy his actual nature as being the combined form of Radha and Krishna. So it was a very amazing set of events that took place in connection with Ramananda Roy. Lord Chaitanya continued further south to Sri Rangam in the very south of India. And there, you know, he continued his wild chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And then he returned ultimately to Jagannath Puri. And then he decided he wanted to go to Vrindavan, because that's the place where Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago in India. So he began a journey from Jagannath Puri to Vrindavan. So first, he crossed a very wild area here, which is called the Jharikhanda Forest. And actually, if you see the way the temple is decorated tonight, it's a replica. It's meant to suggest the Jharikhanda Forest. And in the Jharikhanda Forest, there were no people to chant Hare Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya chanted Hare Krishna in such a way that even the wild animals, the tigers, the monkeys, the elephants, they all began chanting Hare Krishna and dancing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And you can see one of those dancing tigers right there. So that's the secret meaning of these decorations of the temple, you know, this evening. You can also see on the altar the dancing animals. You can see them there on the different altars, the tigers, the deer, the animals. Very, very wonderful decorations of the temple this evening. So then, you know, he crossed this Jharikhanda forest and he came to Varanasi, very sacred city in India, you know, on the Ganges River. And he came to this place, the Manikarnika Ghat. Ghat is a bathing place. So this is the most important bathing place at Varanasi. And at this place, he began chanting, you know, the Hare Krishna mantra. And everyone there joined in this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra with Lord Chaitanya. We can see him there more closely. And then he visited with one of his followers the Vishveshvara temple, which is a Shiva temple in Varanasi. And we may wonder about that. Well, what was he doing? A devotee, Krishna himself, taking the role of a devotee of Krishna. Why was he going to the Shiva temple? Because the Vaishnavas understand Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Shiva is a great devotee of Krishna. So, of course, he went to visit the temple of this great devotee. Then he went from there to this place, Panchaganga Ghat, where long ago, at the time of Lord Chaitanya, there used to be a very big temple of a deity of Krishna called Bindu Madhava. And then later, during the Muslim invasions, that temple was destroyed, and now this big mosque is there at that place. But the deity is still there in a small temple next to the mosque, the Bindu Madhava deity of Krishna that Lord Chaitanya saw 500 years ago when he visited Kashi or Varanasi. And as usual, in front of the Bindu Madhava temple, he engaged in big sankirtan, big chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. So he went from Puri across the Jharikhanda forest to Varanasi, and then he went to Vrindavan. And when he was in Vrindavan, he just entered into total ecstatic trance on Krishna's leela, Krishna's pastimes. And the animals there in Vrindavan, they understood, oh, this is Krishna come back in this strange new form. So the animals were coming up to him, remembering him, licking him, because they understood, this is our Krishna who has come back again. And now Krishna appeared in Vrindavan 5,000 years ago. But after he left, many of the places of his pastimes were lost. So one of the reasons why Lord Chaitanya went to Vrindavan was to rediscover the lost pastime places of Krishna. Now, for example, he was looking everywhere for Radhakund and Shyamakund. These are two ponds, two bodies of water that were very sacred to Krishna, very special places where Krishna and Radha engaged in very confidential pastimes 5,000 years ago. But when Lord Chaitanya went to Vrindavan 500 years ago, nobody could tell him where those places were. So at this place, he sat down. And with his transcendental vision, looking across some rice fields, he could see the locations of Radhakund and Shyamakund. And then later, his followers excavated the kundas and began, you know, Raghunath Das Goswami in particular, one of his followers, began to build the nice pathways and ghats and temples that we see at these places when we visit them today. But the only reason we can go there and see these places today is because Lord Chaitanya rediscovered them. And then, from Radhakund and Shamakund, he went to this place, Pavana Sarovara, which is another place of Krishna's pastimes. And he asked the people there, are there any deities of Krishna around here? And they said to him, well, you know, if you go to this hill, you'll find a cave. And in there, you'll see some deities of Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya went to the cave in the hill. And according to his biographer, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he excavated deities of Nanda, Krishna's father, Yashoda, Krishna's mother, and little baby Krishna in this cave. So Lord Chaitanya was carrying out what I've called transcendental archaeology, you know, excavating these deities. And he did that in the year 1514. And later, one of his followers, Sanatana Goswami, started the construction of a temple on the top of that hill, and which is now called Nandagram. And if you go there today, you can visit the temple and see deities of Nanda, Yashoda, Krishna there. And Lord Chaitanya instructed his principal followers, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, to continue this work of transcendental archaeology, rediscovering the lost places of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, and finding many lost deities of Krishna and Radharani that were installed 5,000 years ago but were subsequently lost and rediscovered by these Goswamis. So Lord Chaitanya, he stayed in Vrindavan for some time, but he was just always going into ecstasy. And in his ecstasy, he would do things that were very dangerous for him. According, you know, for example, they would be crossing a river, crossing the Yamuna, and then all of a sudden he would just start chanting and dancing, and his followers just didn't know what to do. They thought, well, if we don't get him out of Vrindavan, something very dangerous might happen to him. So they decided to take him away. So they were going back along the Ganges River towards Allahabad here. And along the way, Lord Chaitanya again went into trance. And at that time, a troop of Muslim soldiers came by. So they saw this, obviously some kind of saintly person, lying unconscious with these other fellows around. And they thought, well, they thought the followers of Lord Chaitanya must have poisoned him. And we're going to rob him or something. So they were about to arrest all of them. And then Lord Chaitanya came out of his trance and explained, no, these are my associates. They're here to help me. And actually, all the Muslim soldiers were converted into Vaishnavas. And their descendants are still in that part of India today. They're called the Patan Vaishnavas. So Lord Chaitanya was converting everyone to his movement. The Mayavadi impersonalist philosophers, the Buddhist, Muslims, everyone. People from high caste, low caste. That was the revolutionary nature of Lord Chaitanya's spiritual movement. And that's why here in the West, we have also become followers of Lord Chaitanya, because his movement was open to everyone. So Lord Chaitanya, he continued from Allahabad to Allahabad. He finally got there. And in Allahabad, he gave very important teachings to one of his dearmost followers, Rupa Goswami. And those teachings, which explain the science of love of God, can be found today in the book, The Nectar of Devotion. Then from there, he continued to Varanasi again, where he met his follower Sanatan Goswami and communicated many important teachings to him. Actually, all this deity worship that we're doing now, everything that's going on in this temple is following the teachings that Lord Chaitanya gave to his followers, Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami. Again, in Varanasi, he converted many more impersonalist philosophers. He converted the chief impersonalist, Prakashananda Sarasvati, and his 60,000 followers. And actually, there's a small temple in Varanasi, which you can visit today, which has the deity of Lord Chaitanya, and it also has this painting showing Prakashananda Sarasvati and his 60,000 followers that Lord Chaitanya converted. So from there, he went back to Puri, here, and he continued taking part in the Rath Yatra festivals for some time. But then at the end of his life, he went into seclusion at this place, the Gambira. And he just was always engaged in transcendental meditation on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and their followers. And sometimes he would just run out across the sand dunes in Jagannath Puri, wondering, where are you, Krishna? Where are you? And sometimes he would even fall into the ocean, and one fisherman pulled him out of the ocean once. And sometimes he would just collapse on the ground in ecstasy, and his followers could only revive him by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra in his ears. And then finally, you know, when he was 48 years old, after 48 years on this planet, he left this world at the Tota Gopinath temple. It said that he merged his body into the body of the deity of Krishna. There are a couple of stories about how he left his world, but this is one of the ones that Srila Prabhupada gives in his books. So, Lord Chaitanya, we might call him the peaceful avatar. Usually when Krishna comes, he takes on the role of a kshatriya or warrior prince, and he's often very much engaged in killing the demons, as when he appeared in the form of Lord Ram and killed the demon Ravana. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he doesn't engage in that kind of activity. Instead, he kills the demoniac mentality of people with the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And it is by this chanting that we become qualified to enter into the deeper understandings of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So, Lord Chaitanya has come to deliver us from the ocean of Kali Yuga. So somehow or other, we all find ourselves on the boat of this Krishna consciousness movement, which Lord Chaitanya has launched across the seas of this ocean of misery that we're in now, Kali Yuga. So we should remain on that boat, and keep chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai.
Jyoti Karma Prabhu ki jai.
We can all chant Srila Prabhupada's pranam mantras together in unison.